wanted to share my heart, and I didn't really want to share it. I have, though, sometimes I'm supposed to speak, and the Lord put a passage on my heart, and I don't want to share it necessarily, not for any particular reason. I just say, I don't want to do it, and the Lord won't let me get away from it, and He keeps drawing me back to it. And the Lord works with me, He solidifies it's like it's just in my spirit. You have to do this, and I'm doing it. And it's on the passage. You can go and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And it's one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, actually. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 11. I'm going to read it and share a few things out of this to you. I find it immensely practical. Do you know Paul in his writings, most of his letters follow an outline of doctrinal and theological teaching, but he always makes it go at the end to practical living. And so it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 11. And I say this all the time, and it's true. If it doesn't work in the dirt, I don't want it. And so everything that we have in our walk with God, it should be able to be applied to affect and change our life, and ultimately to affect and change our culture and everyone around us. Okay? All right. And so this passage, it says in verse 2, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." And this is beautiful. And let me just say this before I read it. In verse 5 through 11, Pete, you like this. A lot of commentators believe this was an early church hymn. And Paul took the hymn and just put it in his letter to them. It actually was something that was sung. And he says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." It's important to understand the character of Christ, to understand the character of God. And that's why it's important to read the Scriptures. Because if we don't have that, then I don't know that the Lord is patient and long-suffering, like Sharon shared with us this morning. That He's not going to bite our heads off if we don't drop the two classes. Amen. If I don't know the character of God, then I think it's perfectly fine to be more worried about what you think than what Bob shared this morning. Okay? It's important to know the character of Christ. One of the things, I've read this, I don't know if it's 100% sure, but I've read the only character trait that the Lord said, Jesus said of Himself, was that of humility. And it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Other translations say, "I'm humble in heart." It's the character of Christ that He has. And Paul, in this letter to the Philippians, it's a missionary letter. He was thanking them for their missionary support. It was also known as the Epistle of Joy. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. We used to sing that when I was Sean's age, when I was in church. It's a good song. But it's also one of unity. And Paul was dealing with, you go and read in chapter 4 as well, there was some disunity there in the church. And sometimes where there's great, and this isn't the heart of my message, it's just sharing, sometimes where there's great enthusiasm, there can be the most conflict sometimes. Okay? And Paul was saying, to get over that, to get over the issues that they're having, to take on the character of Christ, he pointed them to Jesus to look at humility. And I was thinking of this passage because at some point in my life, it wasn't here, it wasn't with any of you guys, but I had a moment in my life, and I was someplace, and I wasn't honored the way I thought I should have been honored, or I wasn't given thanks in the way I thought I should have been given thanks for something I was doing for the Lord and for someone else. And it bothered me. And I remember being there like, why is this bothering me? And it,
I said, this isn't right. Something is off. That a perceived slight could make me... And I wasn't outwardly saying anything to anyone. It was just more in myself. Why do I feel this way? This isn't the Lord. You ever have moments like that where you can, someone can do something or not do something, and I'm reacting in here, and I say, I know that's not necessarily Christ-like. You may not verbalize it, but it's going on in here. That's a good checking point. And I remember reading Philippians. It was that same day. I said, I'm going to just read Philippians, not knowing what I was going to read. And it came up there where he made himself of no reputation. Other passages, he emptied himself. But he made himself of no reputation. And I read that on that same day, and I just stopped in my tracks. And I said, why do I do what I do? Am I doing it, like Bob said, to make Bob happy? And there wasn't anything here, just this completely separate thing. But am I doing it to make Bob happy? Am I doing it to get accolades for myself? Am I doing it to get recognition? They said one of the greatest needs man has is respect. Am I doing it to get respect? Or am I doing it simply out of love for the Lord and love for the people? Amen? Because I was doing something for a certain individual. Am I doing it because I love the Lord and I love this person? Or am I doing it so I can be built up and propped up? And that stings. When the Holy Spirit asks that to you, I love when the Scriptures just speak to you. And it's like, oh wow, this is just speaking to me in such a way that's really almost makes me uncomfortable. You know? And I started reading through this passage and I was thinking... This week, I was meditating on this when I was home in North Carolina, and I said, I need to share this, and maybe someone needs it. This is a beautiful passage. I could bore you to death and just go through each verse and each word because it's rich. The description of Christ here is just rich, but I want to just share some simple things in the heart because I think some of this is also immensely practical as well. It says, fulfill my joy of being like-minded, having the same love and being of the same mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And let me say this too. In our society today, it's important to know the Lord is the Lion and the Lamb. And there's times to speak up, amen, and say what the Lord's doing. And there's also times He also came as a Lamb. He is humility personified, okay? In our demonstrations and our nature. And so there's selfish ambition. And I was thinking this. I was just outside with my kids yesterday. And I was thinking of a certain individual. No one that's in here now again. I always say this just so you don't think I'm point finger because I'm someone completely different. And I was thinking of this was a ministry situation. And I said, I feel like this situation, they're more interested. It's become more... about what I just said that I dealt with and that all of us probably deal with. It's become more about them than it has about the Lord than it has been about the people. Okay, all of us, we said this, all of us are ministers, and I say this all the time, and it's true. At work, when you're Stephanie and you've got the guys, that's a ministry to restrain sometimes is ministry to people. When you could chew someone's head off, and you decide not to, that's actually ministry if you think about it. Well, I haven't done anything. No, you have. Rick Joyner wrote a book. I should know the name of it because it's really popular. I think it's The Call. But he writes about a vision he had. And it was a guy, and the Lord honored him so much. He'd had such a hard life. He'd been through really, I mean, some of us are dealt, you know, an ace and a king. He was dealt a really bad hand. And he was walking down the road, and a dog came up, and he went to kick him, and he stopped himself. He said, Rick Joyner's coming, how the Lord was pleased with him because of how much the Lord had done in his life to not kick the dog. And we often think, well, that's a low standard to have, but for some of us, that's where we're at. Amen? And the Lord honors us for the little things that we do, and it's important to know that. But it says, in lowliness of mind, let each others esteem others better than himself, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let me say this, as far as conceit goes, conceit means basically I have an unbelievably high opinion of myself in a certain area. Sometimes that's drawn from insecurity that we have.
Sometimes it's because I just think I'm amazing. A good principle to have in any area of life. I love this verse. It's in Romans 12. Let me read it to you real quick. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think of each soberly as God has dealt each the measure of faith." Okay? Whether I'm in a church setting or in my job setting, I have strengths and I have weaknesses. That's just how the Lord made us. Okay? I was reading this one time, and the guy said, "I spent so much time trying to just improve my weaknesses that I ran myself to the ground rather than focusing on what's the Lord given me? What is my strength? What is my skill set?" I was having coffee with my pastor when I was back home, and he's retired now, but we were talking, and we went to Dunkin' Donuts, by the way, and no one goes to Dunkin' Donuts in the South. He's like, "I've never been here. There's one." I said, "Where I'm from now, everyone goes to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. That's all there is. You have Krispy Kreme in the South." And I prefer Krispy Kreme, but I like Dunkin' too. But we were at Dunkin' Donuts, and he was sharing with me about, there's a minister, Paul Jackson. He's the guy who gave my heart to Jesus in one of his meetings. And he was talking about Paul, and Paul Jackson was, when he would preach, his face would get bright, bright red. "I'm looking for something." He would start going, and he said, my pastor said, he said, "Brother Paul couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag." And he meant that with endearment. He said, "But when he moves in the anointing, I've never seen anyone like him before," which is true. And he went on to share the story. It was a Pentecostal denomination. He said, "We had a camp meeting, and they tried to put Brother Paul up to speak, and they were going to have him give a nice little 10-minute homily. He was doing it. He couldn't do it. And he finally said, "Oh, shucks, guys, I can't do this. But what I can do is this." And he started moving in the Holy Ghost, and he said that place went bananas for the Lord. And what was the point of that? Sometimes it's important to know, this is how the Lord's gifted me. This is my gifting to the body of Christ. This is my gifting in my family. In my family, my wife can deal with the kids sometimes better than I can. And I have to know that. She can have the patience of Job, whereas sometimes I can't. In my job, it's a similar situation. What am I good at? And it's important to take advice from others who are better and to allow them to function where they're better. Amen?
Yes.
I can be deferential to my wife sometimes, and I should be, because sometimes she's dealing with a situation with the kids and I want to jump in. Deferential. Amen. I know where my strength is with the kids. I know where my weakness is with the kids. It's like that in the body of Christ. And it says to esteem each other. Honor those. What did I do this morning before we started? Thank you for what you did. I'm going to use my wife as an example. Administration is a gift in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we don't often think about it because oftentimes it's not on the platform. But if anyone's doing the Bible reading plan, you're in Numbers.
Yeah.
God's a God of order.
Yes.
And if you don't have order, there's Jack Buskey. You remember Jack Buskey? He always said this, and he was doing it to get a reaction, but it was partly true. He said, if you don't plan, God's not going to move. And because he was saying that to folks who were, if you were very helter-skelter with things. If no one's behind the scenes working, my wife was sharing, there's a guy who he dropped out of Harvard to go help, I think it may have been Bethel. He was an administrative guy. Someone said, wow, you're doing this stuff really, really fast. He said, well, you know, administration is a gift in the Bible, you know. And we esteem those who do it because oftentimes there's overlooked things that are done. And it's important to honor and to esteem. I can't do administration very well at all. I'm just not gifted at it. I had a temp job one time as an administrator, and they told me after the first day, we don't need you back. I was lousy. I couldn't figure anything out, do it, and I was relieved almost because I was going to tell them. I was like, I can't do this job. And so there's giftings, and it's important. Why am I sharing this? I don't know. I think someone maybe needs it because this is immensely practical. It's very simple, but it says to esteem. Nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
It means I have honor and respect for other people in the body of Christ at work, in my home, in every aspect that I am. And let me say something else. Selfish ambition. Do you know there's nothing wrong with having ambition for God? He had selfish ambition. Do you remember when, I think it was James and John, his mom came up to Jesus and said, Lord, right after he said, I'm going to the cross, they said, make sure that he sits on it, my kids sit on your right and left hand. They wanted that. They wanted to do something for God. Jesus never rebuked that. Okay? He said, it's not my will, but to choose this. It's up to the Lord. You can be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. The ambition thing, and this is something I'm going to share. The most important thing I'm going to say is at the end. But it's important that my ambition is not to build myself up, but to build up Jesus. Amen. Jesus' ministry is to give glory to the Father, that everything I do. Remember John the Baptist, I've said this too. He had the disciples with him and he said, behold the Lamb of God. And they left him. That's the point of all ministry. Is I never draw someone to yourself in any work anywhere, but you're always pointing them. That's Jesus. That's what the Lord's doing. You do this, you do that. There's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be promoted at work. Nothing wanting wrong to be setting goals and making myself better. In fact, you should be. But it's just guard your heart, like Kevin spoke about last week. And make sure it's not solely to prop yourself up. Or else you're going to have the Holy Spirit gently come in like He did to me that time I was sharing you about. It's like, oh wow, I'm really doing this all for myself. And really not for the person I'm saying that I'm helping. It's really about me. That's painful, but that's the Holy Spirit. And He comes in and He does it in a nice way where no one knows about it.
Yes.
And then you share about it one day because maybe you'll come into that situation as well. Amen? Okay. It says, esteem others better than himself. Jockeying for position. I was reading a guy, his name is Rick Renner, and he was talking about this. And just another point. He said, I was in a meeting. He said, I was a young guy and I was in a staff position at a large church and we had a meeting. They asked our opinion. He said, I started talking. He said, I just wouldn't shut up, and I didn't know I was doing it. And he said, it was just my insecurities wanting to show how spiritual I was. And he said, finally the senior leader, sharply rebuked him and said, for crying out loud, someone else needs to speak too. We all have opinions that need to be heard. And he said, I went home that night, and he actually read this scripture, and he broke it all down in the Greek. But I actually wrote down, I looked this up and wrote down, if you take the Greek words Paul uses it and put it in today's vernacular, it would say this. It says, do not jockey for position or try to prove your importance to others with a lot of hollow and empty boasting and self-promotion. Instead, have a modest opinion of yourself. Learn to recognize the outstanding contributions of others that others have to impart. That's so practical. And Paul was dealing with this in this church. And can you imagine if everyone thought, I'm the man in the church. I've got this. I've got that. You're going to have conflict. Amen? In the job, you're going to have that. Okay? In your home, every place you go, it's important to honor and acknowledge and respect what other people have done. Amen? Let me move on. Each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Let me read some principles that I found are really good. When making a decision, consider not only how the decision will affect your own interests, but also how it will affect the interest of others. Amen? Demonstrate your high estimation of others by commending them for those qualities that are biblically worthy of praise. Here's where I'm going to get to. Guard your heart, because in verse 14 it says, let all things be done without grumbling and complaining. If you're doing your Bible reading plan, you just finished Numbers, what were the people doing? They're grumbling and complaining about the Lord, about the people, about Moses, constantly grumbling and constantly complaining. That's an easy thing to get into and to get sucked into. The Lord has to set you free from it. I've been there myself. And I was reading a story, and this is great. This was John Calvin and Martin Luther. You know who they are, great reformers. Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. Calvinism still affects the church. But apparently Martin Luther was bad-mouthing John Calvin. We think these are great men of God. They wouldn't do that, but they did. Okay? And he says this. It says, when Calvin was told that Luther had spoken ill of him, he said, and I think this is beautiful, he said, let Luther call me the devil if he please. I will never say of him, but that he is the most dear and valiant servant of the Lord. I thought, wow. Let me read that again. Let Luther call me the devil if he please. I will never say of him, but that he is the most dear and valiant servant of the Lord. When someone badmouths you, if I'm going to take on a character, if I want to be like Jesus, if I want to have the character of Christ in my life, and Bob wouldn't do this, but if Bob did it, how do I operate humility back to him when he badmouths? Everyone gets talked bad about sometimes, whether you're there or whether you're not there. Sometimes you can get arrows in your back from someone miles away.
Yeah.
Okay. But how do I treat them in turn? That's an important... And remember in 1 Peter, I think it's in 1 Peter, Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. You remember that? And that doesn't mean that I don't have a backbone. It doesn't mean I don't speak up when things are right. It doesn't mean I'm just a pushover. But it means the golden rule, very basic, treat others the way you want to be treated. And I'm going to honor you, not only with my actions, but with my words as well. Amen? And I thought that was... Calvin, kudos to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. What were we doing this morning? Encouraging. I was encouraged and built up by everything everyone said. I was. Okay? Immensely practical. And this one more thing, too. Oh, someone said this. How wonderful would it be if Christians were known for never putting anyone down except on a prayer list?
Wow.
I said, amen. That's really good. Christians never put anyone down except on a prayer list. And that... I've preached this here and I've said it and it's really important. If you have a problem with someone, the quickest way is to pray for them.
Yeah.
Just put them on your prayer list and pray and speak blessing over them and watch the Lord change your heart because He will do that. Amen? Practical stuff. Taking the form of a bondservant, I'm gonna go ahead and skip through some things and just let me end with this. It says in all things, let me say, it is God who works within you. Okay, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is in verse 12, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Okay? Salvation is of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't find Him, He found me, He saved me, I just accepted it. Okay? It's completely of Him. But we also have a responsibility in that, right? To grow up in Him. Even just if you talk about baptism and the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, someone said this to me one time, they said, I've been amazed at all the things I've been accomplished in God by people who didn't necessarily say they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues, if you have your prayer language, does not mean you're a super saint. It's not. The Holy Spirit's the earnest of our inheritance, actually. And we're called to walk from faith to faith, to glory, strength to strength. I should always be moving and growing. And so while salvation is completely all on Him, I also have a responsibility in that as well, to walk out and live holiness. But what can often happen is this, and this is, I feel like I need to say this. If you disagree with me on this part, that's fine. I can't say, if I really struggle with, I'm going to use it different, I'm going to say patience with my kids. Let's say when they go crazy and I'm impatient. I can't will myself, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to drive myself crazy. I'm going to end up getting disillusioned and just saying, drop the whole thing. I was reading, Watchman Nee was a great Chinese man of God, if you're familiar with his story. And he writes in his book, The Normal Christian Life. If you haven't read it, I would recommend it as a reading. It's a good book. And he said, I was with a guy one day, and he was saying, I think it was patience. The guy said, Brother Nee, I need to be more patient. I need to be more patient. Can you pray for me so I'll be more patient? And Watchman Nee said, you don't need more patience. And the guy said, what do you mean? He said, you need more Christ.
Yeah.
So Christ was within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, God, the hope of glory. Amen. The Spirit of God within me. I need Him, I need Christ, I need the Holy Spirit within me to be the dominant expression in my life. Okay? It starts in here and works its way out. Right? Rather than outside in, it starts inside out. And so he said, what you need, brothers, you need more Christ. If you need more humility,
when dealing with people, when dealing with situations. You can't make yourself, he just needs to be more humble. You can't necessarily make yourself do that, but he can. And when the focus is on him, he does it. And I'm going to share a verse. For we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. The word in the Greek is metamorphosis, transforming that starts on the inside. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. How am I changed? Transformed. As I gaze upon him and I say, Lord, I have no ability to be more humble. I can't do it, because if you do it, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And then what happens is I start counting my progress. I was more patient today than yesterday. I was more patient, but I wasn't that good today. And then condemnation gets in. And I start beating myself over the head. And I'm ready to throw in the towel. This Christian thing doesn't work. This walk with God doesn't work. I think the Lord, as Sharon said earlier, sometimes is a bit more gentle with us. And what you find is as you look to him, he changes you. And there's a good principle as I look to him. Love the Lord with all your God with all your heart and soul, and your neighbor as yourself, right? And if I keep the main thing, Lord, I have this area in my life, be it patience, be it humility. If I want to be more humble, who is the personification of humility? It's Jesus Christ. So Lord, if I need that, I believe this. I believe you become like what you worship. If I worship him, I become more and more like him. If I worship what's going on, if I worship the political scene today, I become more and more agitated, more and more angry. If I worship whatever, pop stars, whatever, I become more and more whatever. Whatever I set my gaze on and fix my gaze on the most is where I become more and more like. Amen? And so as I fix my gaze upon him, he changes me. And as I love my neighbor as myself, and I say, you know what, I'm going into this situation. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant, came in the likeness of man, and humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. I have to read this passage in Isaiah 53 about Jesus. It says, and he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Could you imagine being the one who flung the stars in the sky, praised the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, hung the stars in the sky, treated like dirt. Who is this? Isn't this the carpenter's? Isn't this Mary's son? Who is this? It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And he did that. He says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the God we serve.
Amen.
The pattern of humility. And I think of the Lord coming to earth, and he did it backwards than what I would have done. I would have said, I am the man, I'm God, I created you, and I'm going to rule you by force, I'm going to tell you to do this, I'm going to tell you how awesome I am. That's what I would do in my natural self. Jesus came as a servant. Remember when he washed the feet? They said, no, Lord, you can't do this. He says, you don't do this, you have no part of me. He takes the lowest point and cleans camel dung off the disciples' feet. That's the God we serve. It's backwards from what we see that's celebrated in today's society. Again, I'm not saying don't have a backbone. I'm not saying don't speak up, because Jesus did. Okay? So don't misconfuse what I'm saying. But he did it in the spirit of humility. Okay? He did it in the spirit of, I'm here to glorify God, and I'm here to minister to the people. And I have no rights of my own. He didn't demand his rights. I'm the Son of God. You can't treat me this way. I do that sometimes. I'm this, don't treat this. He didn't demand, he didn't make demands upon everyone for his rights. He said, I've come to serve. All ministry, be it in a church setting, be a parent, because I'm in the midst of it right now, it's ministry. And I'm sure when your kids grow up, it's also ministry. It's service. Watching the kids you watch in Massachusetts, Christina. It's a ministry. It's service. And if I don't get the acclaim from watching your kids at service, if I don't get the acclaim from men, do it as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Lord, give me the spirit and the grace of humility. That I don't stress myself. Lord, if I'm not doing it perfectly now, I come to Him and I say, Lord, You know this need in my life. I'm struggling in this area. Lord, someone did something to me. I thought I was slighted and I reacted strongly. I can't make myself change. But You can. Show me in the Word. Oh, Jesus. Jesus is the pattern. I'm ending with this. Paul, he goes on in verse 20. He sends them Timothy. He says, For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul was sending them Timothy. He said, I don't have anyone to send who's not going to be worried more about building themselves up. But Timothy will sincerely care for your state. And I said, Lord, I would like for You to say that about me. I would like for You to be... Timothy, the Holy Spirit recorded it for all of us to see. Timothy was so concerned with God and with the people he'd been called to that he wasn't cared about building his own kingdom, his own ministry, his own empire, his own this, his own that. He says, Lord, You've called me to these people, be it in my job, my family, my kids right now. And I care more about their state because the greatest shall be the servant of all. That's the God we serve. Amen. I'm going to end with this because we have to take communion and I forgot all about it. C.S. Lewis said this. This is true humility is not thinking less of yourself. That's an important thing I didn't get into. It's not saying, woe is me, I'm a lousy. No, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. I carry the authority of Christ. God is my Father. He said, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I'm more concerned on Him. I'm more concerned, as Bob said, what does he got to say when I stand before Him, right? Because Bob's not going to be answering to me. He's going to be answering to Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's who you worry about. So Bob, I've given these people to You. What have You done with them? Have You used it to build yourself? Have You used it to build yourself? Did you not speak the truth then because you were afraid of what they were going to say, what they were going to do? Or did you do it for me? He made Himself of no reputation. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the place You will build for me? On this I will look. He who is poor and contrite in spirit, who is poor in spirit and have a contrite spirit. The Lord finds His rest among those who have a humble and contrite spirit before Him. Amen? It doesn't mean I'm weak. It just means I'm thinking of Him. Think of the people He's given me and my rights and privileges and my reputation and my this and my that. In the grand scheme of things, pales in comparison to Jesus being magnified. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning.